That's White Aryan Resistance Radio. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker again, right down here in Ground Zero, man. Nice day today, but cool. Sun's out all day, but cool. Yeah. Well, bad news, boys. I went to the animal fair, and the birds and the beast were there, and the big raccoon. By the light of the moon, no, that's a baboon, was combing his auburn hair. You ought to have seen the monk. He jumped on the elephant's trunk. The elephant sneezed and fell on his knees, and that was the end of the monk. Did you ever do that when you was a kid? No, probably not. Anyhow, the Planning Commission decided they didn't want my sign around. I didn't have any doubt that's what they would do. So I go to Plan B. Now it's funny because some of the people on the commission said they liked the sign. They liked what I said. And some of them said they laughed a lot on some of the stuff I put on there. But yet they go by the letter of the law here because you're in the Christian country, you know. The Old Testament rules, man. We got a rule. You got to go by it every word, man. Don't worry, I've got something to replace it. I got something even better. One woman said, why don't you get a drone? I said, I'm in enough trouble already, lady. I can't believe how boring those kind of meetings are. I was the last one, too, out of about 10. And they go through all this crap about variances and changing the boundaries and the building's too far out in the road and all that kind of stuff. I don't see how anybody could do a job like that. I would run out of the room screaming, man. And it's funny, actually, because the first thing I ran for office on was the Planning Commission in Southern California. Good thing I lost, man, because I'd have probably committed suicide if I had to sit through all those meetings and listen to all that bullshit. Well, let's get back into the Pessimist's Guide to History. I know you'll like this one. This is 1478, The Cruel Tortures of the Spanish Inquisition. And Torquemada, you know, the head guy in that thing was a Jew. A papal bull handed down in 1478 formally created the Inquisition in Spain, thereby condemning thousands over the years to imprisonment, torture, and death, like Guantanamo, while the Inquisition in other European countries tended to focus on cases of heresy, in other words, going to the church across the street, Spanish inquisitors directed most of their energies towards persecuting Jews. Now, isn't that interesting that Torquemada, the head guy, was a Jew? That happens a lot in history. I mean, in the Soviet Union, Kazanovich, The Wolf in the Kremlin. You should get that book if you haven't read it. He was Stalin's top killer. And he killed all kinds of Jews. And he was a Jew. Muslims, too, suspected of sympathizers, and certain types of criminals. The Spaniards also quickly gained a reputation for the harsh measures they used. 15th century Spain, though ruled by Catholic monarchs, had large populations of Jews and Muslims. And Spanish Jews... Oh boy, I got to sneeze. Unfortunately, I didn't get it turned off in time. Didn't hit the pause button fast enough. Sorry about that. Anyhow, 15th century Spain, though ruled by Catholic monarchs, had large populations of Jews and Muslims, and Spanish Jews had risen to high positions in finance, medicine, and commerce, and local government, as usual. Their prestige and wealth, as well as the fact that many Spanish citizens were in debt to Jewish bankers, led to the widespread jealousy, giving Spanish Catholics further reason to attack those who adhered to the Jew religion. In fact, before the Inquisition was established, Spanish clergymen appealed to Catholic King Ferdinand, promising him that confiscations of Jewish property and wealth would be worth a great deal. He quickly obtained the 1478 papal bull, allowing the appointment of inquisitors to deal with the evil influence of Jews and conversos, Jews who had converted to Catholicism, and then there were a hell of a lot of them that did that. The first man appointed to the post as Grand Inquisitor was the infamous Tomas de Torquemada, a fanatical anti-Semite. Wait a minute, he's a Jew. Who was himself from a converso family. Appointed in 1483, he orchestrated a campaign of hatred against all Jews, and in 1492 finally convinced King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella to expel from Spain all Jews who refused to be baptized at Christian ceremony. Like that did any good. We're going to change you. Jump in the tub there. We'll splash a little water on you, and you won't be a mean-ass crooked Jew. Now you'll be a mean-ass crooked Christian. Further, he instigated nationwide searches, imprisonment, and ruthless methods of torture, now synonymous with the Spanish Inquisition. Wow. Tough motor scooter band. Suspected heretics were taken into custody without warning and urged to confess their crimes.
Oh, I did it. Just don't chop my head off.
Those who did not were taken to the torture chamber, where they were persuaded to confess by brutal means. While occasionally an inquisitor became inventive and ordered such tortures as slowly roasting a victim's lard-coated feet over an open fire. Most were content with three basic types of torture: the garrucha, the garrote, and the toca. With the garrucha, the victim was bound hands behind his back and was slowly raised off the floor by a rope attached to his bound wrist. The torturers then lowered him in a series of jerks that often wrenched his arms out of their sockets. The garrote was also known as the rack. Consisted of ladder-like structure with sharpened rungs. Inquisitors wrapped rope around the victim's arms and legs and then gradually tightened the ropes, causing them to slowly tear through the skin and muscle down to the bone. The toca, a water torture, was more complex. The victim was bound to the rack, which was tilted slightly, so his head held tightly in place with an iron band was slowly lowered, well, was lower than his feet. Then the Inquisitor forced a cloth strip. What the hell's going on here? I got police calls. Let's try that again. The toca, or water torture, was more complex. The victim was bound to the rack, which was tilted slightly, so that his head, held tightly in place by an iron band, was lower than his feet. Then the inquisitors forced a cloth strip down his throat, clamped his nose shut, poured a steady stream of water down the cloth. Well, that's what Al Cheney learned. Cheney learned that from Tokamada. As the victim gagged and gasped for air, the cords binding him to the rack were slowly and inexorably tightened to cut through the flesh. Inquisitions never told the victim what his crime was, nor would only repeat his phrase, tell the truth, throughout the ordeal. Well, at least they didn't do that to me this morning at the Planning Commission. Torture, however, was considered only a means of confession, and once a confession had been extracted, there were many forms of punishment, including confiscation of property, imprisonment, whipping, and wearing in public the sanbenito, a penitential garment. The most extreme punishment, burning at the stake, was reserved only for those considered to be unrepentant or relapsed heretics. During the first 18 years of the Spanish Inquisition, an estimated 8,800 people died by burning, and some 90,000 were tortured and imprisoned, although the Inquisition in Spain was not formally abolished until 1834. The Holy Office had lost almost all power by the beginning of the 18th century. Therefore, its chief activity was the destruction of prohibited books. You know, Columbus just got out of there in time, man. Later in history, there would be another Tokamada who was equally anti-Jew and heinously sadistic. His victims will run into the millions. Oh, come on. You're kind of fun, Rena. I know what you're talking about. Oh, one more thing. AD 1485. Outbreak of English sweating sickness. Sweating sickness first appeared in England in 1485 and spread rapidly among the population. Apparently, healthy individuals were struck down and died of the disease overnight. Largely confined to England, the sweating sickness killed thousands in epidemics that occurred in 1485, 1506, 1517, 1528, and 1551. It seemed to be more severe among the rich than the poor. Whoa, maybe I can get some of those germs in a vial delivered to my house. It seems to be more severe among the... Well, I said that. One contemporary physician attributed it to filth and dirt among the rich. How about that? You mean filthy rich? That's where that came from. Filthy rich. You can get the sweating sickness. Well, I got a note from one of our traveling reporters here today, and he says, when people start killing judges and other state gypsies like this, then the revolution will be on. I'm crossing the Czech Republic, crossing into the Czech Republic tomorrow. So I'm going to look up what he sent along. This is a story about an Italian fellow. Ermes Mattadelli is dead. Ermes was the honest junk dealer. Ermes had a wooden leg, but had no disability pension. The gypsies robbed his home and warehouse almost 20 times. Ermes got a gun. One night, two gypsies entered his property to rob him once again, but this time he shot 14 rounds, injuring them and forcing them to flee. Then they denounced him of attempted murder. Okay. The following process, the judges considered Mattadelli guilty, and he was sentenced to 5 years of jail and had to repay the gypsies with 135,000 euros, the amount which even surpasses the value of his home they were robbing. He died 3 days ago after a heart attack provoked by the suffering and frustration as he had also to pay the court costs, as considered guilty. And the attorneys, money that was going to be given to the Northern League Party, the leader Salvini himself had a dinner with Hermes last week. The mother of the robbers said she is not afraid he died. The whole left stands with the current law and the magistrates, considering him a dangerous pistolero who chased these two unarmed gypsies. Hermes' only relatives are cousins that will renounce the inheritance since they inherit debts more than else. So the house, the junk stock, the car, anything once owned by Mattinelli will be acquired stolen by the state, which then will assure the 135,000 euros to the gypsy robbers, even giving them Mattinelli's home. The end says, we're all Hermes Mattinelli. Only when the people rise up and start dragging these judges off the bench and taking care of them will things maybe change a little bit. Thank you for that story, my friend, as you travel across Europe. Well, here's a question. What should Presidente Obama have said to Israeli Minister Bibi Netanyahu Nitwit? Well, Netanyahu is currently making one of his periodic devastating plundering raids on Washington and New York. During his visit, he discreetly picked up a bunch of large checks from the Wall Street crowd, benefited from the plaudits dutifully delivered by the media and chattered class, and has even met with President Barack Obama, whom he quite openly despises. Netanyahu and Obama carefully concealed their mutual dislike when in front of the cameras, but the president also made all the right noises about Israel's security needs. Apparently, all the violence occurring in the Israel-Palestine is the fault of the Palestinians, and Israel always has the right to do whatever it wants to defend itself against these Palestinians. They're everywhere. Obama will follow up on the meeting by throwing billions of dollars of additional Dengelt at Nitwit as a token of America's undying love and fealty to Israel's interests. One wonders if Obama had his fingers crossed behind his back to indicate that he was lying to Bibi, except for the intention to come up with more money, which is always an easy way out for the American ruling class. It is generally convenient to pay off blackmailers like Nitwit with hopes that they will stop whining all the time, you damn Jew. The president will, in any event, have to prepare himself to endure the usual firestorm coming from the GOP pro-Jew presidential candidates because he didn't kiss their BB's ass enough. Later this week, over his less than enthusiastic support for America's greatest ally, I say greatest enemy, and best friend, which would have been a consequence of the visit, no matter how it had turned out. Yeah. Last Thursday, a full-page ad placed by the World Jewish Congress appeared in the Washington Post, New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal. The group's president, Ronald Lauder, the cosmetics company's heir, worth billions, provided the White House with suggestions on how to deal with the visiting Israeli leader. Predictably, he delivered some debatable assertions in constructing his argument as to why the president and prime minister should kiss his ass and make up. Lauder wants to reinvigorate the relationship with Israel because never has this relationship been more important, unquote. Wrong, Ron. The Israeli connection is an enormous liability to the United States just strategically speaking, that has cost well in excess of $100 billion to the American taxpayers and has done untold political damage compared to other strategic partners in the region, including Turkey and Egypt. Israel is of little or no importance but for the fact that it has an enthusiastic, politically powerful, and extremely wealthy domestic lobby conniving on its behalf, which includes you, Ron. Lauder goes on to cite human disaster in Syria, ISIS moving on Iraq, and Iran's bid to destabilize the region, unquote. Well, Ron, the human disaster in Syria and ISIS in Iraq have been caused by policies pushed by Israel and carried out by the United States, all starting with the Iraq War, which was initiated at least in part for Israel by the cadre of neocons in the Bush administration. Every one of the fuckers are war criminals. Iran may not be a friend of the United States, but its support is desperately needed to eliminate ISIS and help stabilize Iraq. As always, Israel sees the U.S.-led military solution and lots of boots on the ground, man. Get all those boots on the ground to each and every problem dealing with the Muslims. That might provide a comfort zone for Israel politicians, but it's bad for the United States. And to be completely honest, it is not even good for the Israeli people. Like I told you recently when I was in Israel, it was obvious to me that the rank and file Israelis were tired of all this bullshit, but they're scared. And guys like Bibi keep them scared all the time. And sometimes it's false flag operations started in Palestine. Now, I don't blame the Palestinians for going nuts, but on the other hand, I think that there's some type of Mossad control behind it, that they turn on some violence for a week and turn it off just to keep these Israeli people in line. Now, you know, the Israeli people are being taxed to pieces. You know, we're sending them all that money and all those weapons, but the average Israeli is taxed badly. I mean, really, so where's the money gone? The ad also cites the ongoing violent attacks against the Jews in Israel. And that Israel is the only demonocracy in the Middle East. I don't give a fuck about democracy. Democracy is one of the worst, it is the worst form of government, probably. And the sooner we can, well, they say this is a democracy. They're full of shit. This is not a democracy. Never was a democracy, and it's a good thing it wasn't a democracy. The simple solution to the attacks would be for Israel to give up its endless and endlessly brutal occupation of the West Bank, as well as its siege of Gaza. The knifings would end. Now, it's not, this is not, nothing's going to happen. The same old shit. It's going to keep going until finally Israel collapses. Yes, the big boys around the world are getting sick and tired of Israel. The Jews are well set up in all the other countries. They don't, I mean, they got New York. What do they need with Israel? So anyhow, don't get excited about that. Israel will collapse. But that doesn't mean the Jews will be less strong. They'll be more strong. The Jews were far more strong when they were spread all over the world. And they had power in all these little countries, or all the big countries. That's what we should be thinking about. Instead of taking over one country, think globally. Lone wolves, Aryans. We can take over a lot of places around the world and build our own little niche. We don't need necessarily North America. Oh, no, you don't need North America? What are you, Metzger, you kidding? And what about democracy when it only applies to Jews and kikes? Netanyahu has proposed expelling thousands of Palestinian terrorists from East Jerusalem, where they and their ancestors have lived for centuries. Well, don't let the truth get in the way. And the continuous theft of Arab land, oh, they wouldn't do that. and the destruction of their livelihoods proceeds at an accelerated pace. If Ron Lauder and his friends really care about the suffering humanity instead of only the Jewish subset, he would be using his considerable leverage to complain directly to Nitwit and ask him to reverse his policies. Yeah. And how to fix things? Lauder claims that Nitwit, Netanyahu, has the greatness, the vision, and the courage to move this relationship towards a positive path, unquote. That's the biggest bunch of bullshit in that sentence I've ever read. Sure, and the pigs have wings. Let's face it, Ron, Bibi is quite likely clinically insane. Even many Israelis are saying so, though they still vote for him based on his government's relentless implementation and self-fulfilling programs of inciting fear of Arabs. Yeah, he maintains power just like Bush did. Fear, fear, fear. For what it's worth, this is what I propose Obama should have said to Bibi, but didn't, with a transcript of the conversation also faxed over to Ron Lauder of the World Jewish Congress. Here we go. Nice to have you back, Prime Minister, but not really, as it's close to lunchtime, to which, incidentally, you are not invited. Why don't you stay home, you filthy kike? You have been interfering in our politics and denigrating both me personally and my office for far too long. And I'm the black boy that's going to get your ass. How would you like it if I were to go to Israel and endorse one of your opponents? If you keep up this crap, I will revoke your visa and you'll never visit here again. Damn it. Yeah. And by the way, your plan to expel thousands of Arabs from East Jerusalem and to shoot kids throwing stones at your occupying goon squad army is not acceptable to us. And then there are new reports of your harvesting organs and other medical transplant material from the bodies of Palestinians that you've killed. There's a long history of that in your country, but it's a bit much. Well, they did it in Europe, too. But it's a bit much even by your standards, isn't it? And it begs the question whether there is anything that you won't do. Next time a motion comes up in the United Nations condemning your brutality, we will support it. Maybe we'll co-sponsor or even propose it to show that we're serious. We're running out of money here in Washington and are thinking of cutting benefits to our own people. I note that the Israelis have free medical care and university education, which means that we are subsidizing things that we Americans do not have, so it hardly seems fair. To wit, Bibi says, fuck fair. We have been giving you more than $3 billion in aid every year, and also looking the other way when you benefit from tax-free charitable contributions that actually are illegal under American law. By executive order, I am stopping the cash flow and asking the IRS to look into your friends over here. Yeah. But I don't think Obama's got the guts for that. And speaking of Israel's many friends, your good buddy at the State Department, Victoria Nuland, is now working down in the mailroom. And I'm asking the Justice Department to register the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, as a goddamn foreign agent, subject to having its finances and operations monitored by the U.S. authorities. Oh, and your spy, Jonathan Pollard, forget that bastard, will be denied parole later this month and will be the guest of the federal prison for the next 20 years, and maybe we'll send him to Guantanamo and let him sleep with the Arabs down there. See how I'd like that. I cannot see where you have done anything for us except complain, Jew, as you are now pledging Israel to continue its occupation of Palestinian land and live by the sword. If you really had to live by the sword, you wouldn't stand a chance, Bibi. Meaning the killing of Arabs will accelerate. I'm suspending all military cooperation with you until you come up with a plan to remove most of your settlers, invaders, from the West Bank. Come back when you have something to show me. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. This is the Presidente, Obama speaking. Oh, if he only would. Well, okay, it was never bloody likely to happen that way, but I can dream, can't I? If you think Obama is spineless when confronted by Ron Lauder and the usual suspects, just think of how bad it will be when we have President Clinton or a President Rubio proxies for their Israel firsters, donors Chaim Sabin and Paul Singer, respectively. The new president and his or her staff will have to learn how to perform proskinesis whenever Netanyahu enters the Oval Office and get down and do flip, give him a blowjob, you know. Just remember, boys and girls, the Jews are going to rue the day that they went with the Zionists to create a country. That was the biggest mistake the Jews have ever made. It's slowly but surely coming back on them. So don't get excited, boys and girls. Their day's coming. Their day is swiftly coming. And when it does, you're going to see those El Al planes loading up by the hundreds and flee those geeks leaving Israel for their save their lives, man. They've got to go to New York or Berlin or Istanbul or Shanghai, any place but Israel. Incidentally, I'm not going to take credit for that that article I read to you. I commented in there, but it was written by Philip Giraldi. Sound like a good Italian boy. If you want to read more articles like that, I got it. One of our boys recommended it from the UNZ Review, the UNZ Review, an alternative media selection. So if you don't know about it, you might want to visit it and read some of their articles. Okay, let's go visit the Republicrats, what they're saying about Netanyahu and Israel. When Republican presidential contender, Canadian Senator Ted Cruz, announced his intention to run before a packed audience at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, another one of those Christian fanatic outfits, the one line in his speech that drew the most applause was, instead of a president who boycotts Prime Minister Netanyahu, imagine a president who stands unapologetically with the nation of Israel. Quote, and all those Christian fundamentalist Zionists clapped their hands like seals flipping their flippers. I'm telling you, these fundamentalist Christians are more dangerous, or just as dangerous as the Jews themselves, because they're such fanatic, crazy people. I do not know if those who were cheering were really aware of what Cruz was saying, but the preposition with committing President Cruz to some kind of an ad hoc equal partnership with a foreign government was both unseemly and ultimately un-American. Well, he isn't American. He's Canadian. A president of the United States should be prepared and expected to advance only American interests or United States interests. There's no ambiguity in Cruz, a keynote speaker for a conference held last September by the newly formed In Defense of the Christian group. He demonstrated that even in front of Middle Eastern Christians, it was necessary to play the Israel card, bringing Jewish persecution into the discussion before walking off the stage. Just before exiting, he said, quote, if you will not stand with Israel and the Jews, then I will not stand with you. Good night and God bless. Well, fuck Cruz. Well, they're all that way anyhow, especially the Republicans. Reminds me, I was a little late yesterday morning downtown getting some of my business done, so I stopped in at the VFW that they cook up breakfast until noon. So as I entered the building, I noticed a bumper sticker on a car. God bless Israel. Pray for Israel. And since there was only one other person in there when I got inside, I figured it was this haggard old lady, looked to be in her 70s or 80s. Didn't look to have any money, you know. Working class, and I had a notion to say something to her. But I know how ridiculous it is to try to talk to these people. You can't talk to them. They believe all that stuff and the Jesus stuff and the Jewish stuff and the Old Testament and the New Testament stuff. And they've had it hammered into them all their life. They have no ability to break loose. Only a few people have the guts and mental agility to break loose. So I just held my held myself in check and continued my breakfast and left in disgust. Anyhow, there is no ambiguity in Cruz. Oh, no, I read that. Tom, get on the stick here, will you? So let everybody know that if they don't care for the Jews or Israel or Kikedom or any of that stuff, for goodness sake, don't vote for Cruz. However, maybe worse is better. Vote for the son of a bitch. The whole world hates us because of this crazy-ass affinity for the Jews. And they should. And they should. But what pisses me off is they hate me, too, as being a part of it. They hate us all because we acquiesce. The most recent GOP presidential... You know, another thing I was thinking about when I was in that boat on the Sea of Galilee when I was over there on that tour, I found out that there were two big Roman cities on the Lake Galilee. It's not a sea, it's not an ocean, it's just a big lake. But there were two great Roman cities on the shores of that, and that tour guide never even mentioned it. These were thriving civilizations, people who built and invented, built great buildings and aqueducts and everything else, while these people were farting around on the camel trail. And he never mentioned it once. It pissed me off, because I would have said, I'm taking over this goddamn boat, and we're going over and look at what real people built, the Romans. Anyhow, one blogger quipped, as it got to the point that the GOP should cut through all the red tape and simply nominate Benjamin Netanyahu as their 2016 candidate? The most recent GOP presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, went so far as to pledge himself to take Israel's advice before doing anything in the Middle East. Cruz, like Romney, has made very clear his willingness to be guided by Israel, and it appears that Bush 3 will do more of the same, as it will every other leading Republican, including Rand Paul, another false flag, who recently defended critics who claimed that he was applauding too slowly during the Netanyahu speech, saying, I gave the Prime Minister 50 standing ovations. I co-sponsored bringing him here. I love Netanyahu. Go back and tell the Tea Party that. Well, most of the Tea Parties are Christian Zionists, so they'll love you for it. Piss on you, too. Marco Rubio, another presidential aspirant, has already declared that if he is elected president, he would be willing to defy America's European allies, if necessary, to revoke any deal with Iran that he might inherit. Rubio's foreign policy advisors feature Dan Senor, Elliot Abrams, that old fart, he's still around, Robert Kagan, and Eric Edelman. Oh, Edelman, he's still around too. Oh boy. But these boobs out here in Iowa and all over the place that are mainly guided by capitalist Christianity are going to go along with these bastards. And I don't see how we can stay out of a world war sooner or later because we're guided by idiots and the military-industrial complex. And that's really become, Republican Party's become a branch of the military-industrial complex. Selling out to Israel interests has become the de rigueur for Republican politicians and presidential hopefuls as well as for a heck of a lot of Democrats as well. Former Bill Clinton, UN Ambassador Bill Richardson, recently commented that Israel is our anchor in the Middle East. God, we've got to have it. We don't have Israel. We're screwed. We can't do anything. Our beachfront is Israel. They're our strongest ally. While Senator Chuck Schumer, who is poised to become Senate Minority Leader, has declared, quote, one of my roles, very important to the United States Senate, is to be Shomer, which is a Jew word, to be Shomer Yisrael, guardian for Israel. And I will continue to be that with every bone in my goddamn body. Wow. Has the Israeli type kikes taken over? Of course they have. I mean, when your leaders talk like that, you're occupied. We are fucking occupied. The description of Israel as a close ally is not true, of course, though Israel is persistently referred to as America's greatest friend by chattering class. It is not legally or practical an ally at all. It never has been. And what about the USS Liberty and all that stuff? Israel's been responsible for killing. Forget it. They'll never say where they're sorry even, the bastards. When I was on that tour, I couldn't believe the sanctimonious positions these people were taking. Not only the Christian Jews, but the tour guides and all that. Just taking it for granted. We're such a wonderful goddamn people, and everybody else, anybody who criticizes, deserves to be shot. And they had plenty of guys on the street with carrying rifles that would be willing to do it, too. If I'd have pulled out a swastika at the walled city of Jerusalem, I think they'd have shot me. I don't think they would have arrested me. I think they would have shot me. And then there is the recent revelation that Israel not only spied on American officials negotiating with Iran, but also used the information obtained with members of Congress to undercut the talks. They want a war. They want a goddamn war. It is quite possible that Netanyahu was getting his intelligence from someone inside the United States delegation. Well, they probably all stampeded to give it to him. Who can be first? Reminds me of when I was in Germany in the army, when the new Western Command phone book came out. The first guy that could get it to the Soviets could get $500. The second one didn't get anything. But the first USSRA phone book that could be gotten into the Russians' hands or East German hands was worth $500. The second one wasn't worth anything. It also suggests that at least some of our congressmen received briefings from the Israeli government that included classified information obtained from the U.S. negotiating team and did nothing about it. That revelation of spying came on top of Benjamin Netanyahu's apparent strategic decision to deal only with the American leaders whom he likes and who like him in return, and who give him fellatio in return. His 2012 endorsement of Romney preceded... You know, another thing, when I was over in Israel, a tour guide pointed out we went right by the street that went to Netanyahu's house, and he said that's the most protected street in the country. And I don't think it's just from Arabs or Palestinians either. I think there's plenty of Jews over there who would like to do him in. That revelation of spying came on top of Benjamin Netanyahu's apparent strategic decision to deal only with American leaders who he likes. Oh, I said that. There have been two speeches by Netanyahu before Congress, piling on more of the same, but the coup de grace came when a desperate Netanyahu seeking re-election explicitly rejected the U.S.-backed negotiations seeking to create a peaceful settlement for Israel-Palestine problem. And then, nitwit, confident that he could get away with anything without consequence, threw into the hopper a racist rant. Racist? Encouraging... Jew racist? I can't believe it. Racist rant encouraging right-wing support at the polls in Israel for creating fears over the Israeli Arabs who might want to vote. Yeah. Now, Senator Asshole McCain never saw a war he didn't love, inevitably accused President Obama of having a tantrum and told him to get over it, with the White House expressed some concern regarding the extreme right-wing Israeli election result. I want to tell you, in some ways, I have some respect for Obama. Not much, but at least he has done a little bit there about this Israeli situation. And now that the elections are over, it is reported that Israeli intelligence officers who exposed some of Netanyahu's lies will be purged after the new government is formed. Sounds like a little bit like Stalin here. The GOP majority in Congress, meanwhile, has already rewarded Bibi for his enlightened statesmanship by giving him 50 ovations, standing ovations. They don't do that for any American, thanking him for making American Secretary of State and President look ridiculous. 47 senators subsequently signed a letter to the Iranian leadership warning that if they would repudiate any nuclear agreement entered into by the United States by President Obama, and Speaker of the House John Boehner will be traveling to Israel this week, presumably to personally thank Netanyahu for his understanding and continued support. Go over there and kiss his ring, goddammit. And meanwhile, Washington continues to reward Israel with more than $3 billion per year in direct assistance, plus billions more in tax-exempt charitable contributions from American citizens, some of which goes to build illegal settlements. It continues to provide Israel with political cover to the United Nations, supplies it with weapons, some of which have been used in contravention of the American law, and it regularly defers to Israel concerns about the political situation in the Middle East. As a reward for Washington's largesse, Israel's many enemies have made the United States a terrorist target. And then there is what the White House and the Justice Department, DOJ, do not do. Israel is a number one friendly country in terms of the level of espionage directed against the United States, but the federal government chooses not to prosecute hundreds of Israeli Jews and American Jews caught spying. The DOJ has even blocked any inquiries by concerned citizens into the details of Israeli espionage using mechanisms like the Freedom of Information Act. One might well come to the conclusion that the American people are not very well served by all this nonsense. Israel has sometimes been called the 51st state, but it is worse than that is to pay no taxes. It never held accountability for anything, damages U.S. interests, and is a net beneficiary at all levels. And all Netanyahu's subterfuge has taken place against the backdrop of repeated U.S. pledges of support for Israel, coupled with fulsome assertions by policymakers that Americans has Israel's back. If there's any conflict in a region, a virtual commitment that Washington will join any war that Tel Aviv initiates. As Israel has done and continues to do grave damage to the United States through its actions, it is past time for the amicable divorce to enable the dog to again wag its tail, as it were. It is quite possible to wish Israel and the Israeli people well without having to become an accomplice in war crimes, as there is more than sufficient evidence to change existing injurious special relationship. I would propose a new declaration of independence, this time not directed to King George III, but King Bibi Netanyahu Nitwick and his associates in government. As a prologue to the injury suffered by the United States, I cannot put it any better than America's founders. Quote, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. Washington wishes Israel and all other countries in the Middle East well and hopes that they will prosper. But from now on, Israel, having abused its privileged position, must be treated just like any other country with the depth of bilateral relationship dictated by actual American interests. American taxpayer contributions to Israel, high-tech, first-world economy are both unnecessary and unwarranted and will cease. Diplomatic protection of Israel at the United States, United Nations and other international bodies damages American interests and will only be considered when Israel and the U.S. interests collide or coincide. Israel has violated U.S. laws regarding the use of American-provided military equipment for defensive purposes only. Future sales of equipment will be reviewed, and American military equipment pre-positioned in Israel will be also be removed. Yeah, well, they shouldn't get any goddamn weapons. Don't give the Jews one weapon. Because it is a violation of Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution, American intelligence agencies will no longer share raw data obtained illegally on American citizens with Israel. Well, I hope you know it, but everybody worried about NSA. They've been giving your tax records to Israel for decades. I researched that years ago. They can get any of your IRS reports sent right to the Mossad. Because funding the occupation of the West Bank is illegal, any private donations to Israel will only be considered charitable when it can be demonstrated that the recipients are actually eligible for the tax status. As it is in Washington's interest to do so, the United States will be free to negotiate with Iran, Syria, and all other countries in the Middle East. The United States will specifically respect the national integrity and sovereignty of all nations in the region, i.e., there will be no more threats that a military option is on the table. As there is a clear conflict of interest, trips to Israel funded by private foundations and lobbies to acquaint congressmen and military officers and police departments and other elected officials with the Israeli point of view will be considered gifts and subject to appropriate regulation and taxation. Israel lobbying groups, who include AIPAC, YNAP, and JINSA, have done great damage to the interests of the United States and will be required to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act of 1938. How Israel conducts its domestic governance is its own business, but the United States will oppose the continuation of legal and administrative infringements on the fundamental rights of ethnic and religious minorities in any and all countries, including those that regard themselves as democratic, to include Israel's treatment of the Arab minority. As it is in the United States' interest to do so, the Washington will support an international fora and creation of sovereign and functional Palestinian state to include full recognition by Washington, understanding that the persistence of the Palestinian problem has been both an incubator and a recruiting poster for terrorism worldwide. Stealing American high technology and government secrets has done grave damage. Israel and Americans caught spying against the United States will be arrested, charged, and prosecuted under applicable statutes. There will be no exception. I am convinced that a new Declaration of Independence will be good for both the United States and for Israel. We don't care if it's good for Israel. Fuck Israel. The U.S. can remove the issue of Israel from its fractious political discourse and will at last be free of major distortion in its ability to conduct foreign and security policy based on America's own interest, Israel, which is military dominant in its region, can begin thinking seriously about how to coexist with its neighbors rather than bomb them into submission. A reset for both countries would be healthy as well as the right thing to do. That was pretty good. I like that. Yeah. The problem is this will not be handled peacefully. There's no way that we can get this snake unwrapped around our body politic in a peaceful way. There's no way. I'm telling you. There's no way. Now people go say, "Oh, there's that crazy guy. There's that radical, crazy, racist Metzger." Well, I'm going to tell you straight. You can talk, you can preach, you can write a million stories, but it's not going to happen until it gets physical. And I mean running the bastards out. Running the bastards out. And do not send a damn dime to Israel. It's time to go after these Republican candidates that are such assholes and suckasses of Israel. It's time to really get next to them and talk to them and yell at them and scream at them. But they've got the total support of millions of fundamentalist Christians. They've still got that support. And until that support somehow is broken free, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But maybe, like I say, worse is better. I mean, when people get to the point where they have no choice but to take it into hands physically, no choice turning the other cheek, no choice except to give them hell and go after them, then will be the day of Ragnarok. Well, I guess now I'll end this up with another bombshell from Siege. If you haven't read Siege by James Mason, you should do it. I'm not sure what Mason's doing now, whether he's alive or dead or what. I do know he had some changes, but what he wrote in Siege influenced me a lot. Reading from 189, page 189. "Thank you, Mr. Director. In the late August, LA Times printed a story headline, 'FBI Director Calls Shooting of Jordan a Calculated Act.' That not much of a sensational headline unless we are supposed to believe that the shooting of Bernard Jordan was some kind of accident. The master understatement. FBI Director William Webster stated to the Times that the two cases he most wants to crack are the Vernon Jordan shootings and the killing of federal Judge John Wood in Texas in 1979. Is there a significance to the date of May 29th? Because the shooting of Wood and the shooting of Vernon Jordan happened on that day, 1 year apart. I quote how directly from Webster, quote, "These cases without making an apology are the most difficult. The assassin picks his time and place. Outside of the bullets themselves and the evidences of where they were fired from, there is virtually no forensic evidence to deal with. There were no eyewitnesses. This is a proof of the pudding statement regarding what has been said in the Siege. The only thing which can foul up crimes such as these is talk, so mum's the word. Quickly, we should cover two secondary aspects of both these cases. Vernon Jordan walked out of the hospital under his own power early in September as cocky and as arrogant as ever, in hope those who shot him weren't intending to scare him or teaching him a lesson. I'm sure that whoever is responsible will now realize that henceforth only headshots are worth risking your ass on." Well, actually, he would have been dead except the bullet glanced off chain link fence as it passed through, which threw the bullet off trajectory. And that's all that saved Jordan's life. But they're right. Pissing around, playing around the edges is a waste of time. And the U.S. District Attorney, and also Webster says there was no witnesses. Then later on about our guy who did the job, or not our guy, but a guy, and I forgot his name already. I got to write these names down to keep them up here in front of my face. Anyhow, there were all kinds of witnesses according to the book. That's interesting. Where did these witnesses all come from if the head of the FBI said there were no witnesses? Were they fake witnesses? And the U.S. District Attorney in San Antonio, Texas, commented on the killing of Wood, that it amounted to warfare against the American judicial system. I should hope. Bravo! The killing was credited to narcotics traffickers. Are we in favor of big-time dopesters over federal judges? When was the last time a comrade got put away by a pusher? Go to the source, not the symptom. That was Volume 9, Number 6, October 1980, issue of Siege. Now, I used to have a whole pile of these Siege papers that James Mason sent me. And I'm not sure whether I still got them. I should have them someplace. But at least we've got a compilation of most of them in the book Siege. And it is available. If you want a copy, I'll get an address for you. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow ranting and raving. Today was Go Get Jaime Day. Tomorrow maybe we'll go get somebody else. What do you think? Ha ha ha. 14-5.
I'm going to make him an offer, Jim, if you...